sake in the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I direct you to Psalm 37 and the first part of verse 7. Psalm 37 and the first two clauses in verse 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. The 37th Psalm, the first part of verse 7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. We read in the Psalm that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And this text is one of the steps of a good man. Each one of the Lord's dear, chosen, redeemed children will be brought to know what's set forth in our text. He says, rest in the Lord. What a mercy it is. There is a blessed resting place for poor, needy sinners. That resting place is in the dear Lord Jesus. The Lord will teach us each, if we are his children, that he is the only place where they can rest. The Lord is a sovereign. He will empty his dear people to fill them. And one of the things we need emptying from is resting on any false foundation. Resting on things that are perishing. Resting in self, or resting in the world, or resting on things of the flesh, or resting on any arm of man. You know, some beautiful illustrations of this in the Holy Word of God. As soon as the text dropped in, my mind immediately went to the day of Noah, and when he sent forth the dove. You see, when he sent forth that dove, she went forth, and there was no place for her to rest, was there? She went to and fro in the earth. She was so different than the raven. The raven, when he sent her forth, she could find much to rest on, and the carcasses and things that were floating in the waters. But the dove, because she is a clean, seed-eating bird, could find no place of rest. And, you know, that's how the Lord's dear people are. The Lord will continually teach us there's no resting place but in the dear Lord Jesus. And what do we find with the dove? She returns to the ark. She couldn't find any other resting place. I love that clause in the hymn we hope to conclude with this evening, where the dear hymn writer took up the sweet language And he said, in the ark, the weary dove found a welcome resting place. Thus my spirit longs to prove, rest in Christ, the ark of grace. And you see, the soul that rests in him is in safety, in safe arms, resting in the dear Redeemer. Just as that dove was safe in the ark being a beautiful type of the dear Lord Jesus. And so the Holy Spirit exhorts us here through the dear psalmist, rest in the Lord. It's a sweet word, isn't it? Rest in the Lord. I don't know what you may be in tonight, but the Lord does. Why he's given me this word. And this is what you got to do, sinner. It's no use you resting on your own works. It's no use you resting on anything you can do or I can do. Why? Because it's all perishing. But there is a blessed place where you can rest, and that is in the finished work of the dear Lord Jesus. Rest in the Lord. You see, the text is very clear, isn't it? What the child of God should do. Rest in the Lord. Now who is it that needs rest? It's those that are weary, isn't it? You look at it naturally. When is it we need rest and sleep? It's because we're weary. It's a wonderful thing to have a resting place, naturally, isn't it? And many times when I go to bed at night, I bless the Lord for the pillow we can lie on, for the bed we can lie on. Rest is a wonderful thing. And think about it far greater so in our souls. You know, the dove really appreciated that resting place she had in the ark. She was weary. Now what will make you weary? You'll be weary of yourself. You'll be weary of your sin. You'll be weary of the trials you have to go through. The temptations you have to go through, they make you weary. The troubles may be of family, may be of soul, or may be in the church of God. And the weary soul, they need rest. Let me just sweetly set before you the words of the Saviour himself. What did he say? Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come unto me. We sang of it in our opening hymn, didn't we? We sang of it just now. The need of a refuge. These weary souls need a resting place where they can rest. And think of that word of the Saviour. Oh, how many have been wonderfully favoured with the application of those words, come unto me. It's a sweet invitation to a poor, needy sinner, isn't it? They know because of their sin that all they deserve is to be cut off forever because of sin. But you know, the Saviour says, come unto me. And how does the sinner come to him? Well, just as they are. Many religious professors say, well, you've got to mend your ways, you've got to do this to come to the Lord Jesus. But he made it very clear. They had to come just as they were. It's what we sing in one of the hymns, isn't it? You can't come too filthy. Come just as you are. Our dear friend read this morning about the woman of Samaria coming to the Lord Jesus. She came just as she was, with all her sin, needing mercy, needing him to wash her, needing him to cleanse her. Everything she needed was found in the dear Lord Jesus. So he says, rest in the Lord. It's the only resting place for your soul, and it's a sure and safe resting place. In thinking upon this text, I thought of those wonderful words of dear Naomi, what she said to Ruth. It's a beautiful word. And we read in the first verse of chapter 3, then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, my daughter. Oh, may the Lord whisper that to some poor daughter tonight. My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee? You know, dear Naomi was a most discerning and gracious woman. What she sought for Ruth was rest. It's a wonderful thing when there are those praying for one and another, it may be our loved ones, and we desire rest for them in their souls, in their pathway. And what did Naomi say? Shall I not seek rest for thee? And then she gives the reason why. That it may be well with thee. You think of that tonight, that it may be well with thee. Do you desire that it may be well with you personally? Well with your loved ones? And she desired rest for her, that it may be well with her. And it was well with dear Ruth, wasn't it? She was one of the Lord's choice children. He had loved her with an everlasting love. Rest in the Lord. What else can you rest in then? Well, this soul that rests in the Lord will rest in his arms. It's like the dear babe naturally rests in its mother's arms, doesn't it? There's no arms to the dear babe like its mother's arms. It can rest there because it feels safe, because it feels the security. It can rest there knowing that everything it needs she can provide. And now think about it in your heart and mind. Oh, to be found resting in the arms of the Saviour, in the arms of the dear Lord Jesus. Resting in him. We think of that beautiful promise. The eternal God is thy refuge and underneath are the everlasting arms. Those arms that the tried, troubled, tempest-tossed child of God can rest in. Rest in the Lord. This is very clear direction, isn't it? For the needy child of God, rest in the Lord. And then we think of that beautiful word in the prophecy of Isaiah. The Lord shall hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not. And all to have that faith to rest in his hands, in his arms. There's safety, you see, for the child of God. But then we think too of those blessed promises that the child of God can rest on. And why can they rest on them? Because the Lord has given them to them. Oh, you think of the promises the Lord gave to Jacob. And those promises, he could rest on them because they came from his God. And you think of the promises he's given you. And you can rest on them, can't you? Because what he has said will never return void, but he shall accomplish that which he pleases and prosper in the thing whereto he sent it. It will never return void. The Lord will accomplish it, you see, in his time, in his way. So he says here, rest in the Lord. Notice the wording of it, in the Lord. If we are in Christ, what does it mean? The apostle desired it, didn't he? He said that I may be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that righteousness which is of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Those that are in Christ have sweet communion and fellowship with him. Oh, they have. Because they're in him. They can commune with him, and he communes with them. But there's a solemn warning. Those that are out of Christ, the hymn writer said, out of Christ, almighty power can do nothing but devour. And you can only look in the Word of God and you can see the proof of it. Those that were outside of the ark perished in the flood. Those that were inside the ark, resting there, Noah and the favoured few, they were safe, weren't they? They could rest. But out of Christ, almighty power can do nothing but devour. Of course, the dear hymn writer penned that, thinking of those words of the Apostle Paul, when he closed that chapter in Hebrews and said, but our God is a consuming fire. And so it will be with the wicked. But I must hasten. Rest in the Lord. Now there's another complete different side to this than what I have set before you. And it seemed to come very sweetly to me in thinking upon this word. The margin tells us concerning this rest in the Lord, be silent to the Lord. This is what the margin says. Be silent to the Lord. What it really means is this. Those that rest in the Lord have to stand still in sweet submission to his mind and to his will. They're silent before him, watching for him to work, resigned to his will. And so he says here, be silent to the Lord. You think of that beautiful word in Psalm 46, where the dear psalmist says this, be still and know that I am God. In other words, be silent, watching, waiting for the Lord to appear, for him to bless, for him to pardon, for him to reveal himself. Be silent. And we think of dear Ruth, go back to that third chapter of the book of Ruth. We name the first verse. Look at what it closes with. Naomi said to her, sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall, for the man will not be in rest until he hath finished the thing this day. She got to sit still and be silent and wait the Lord's time, watch for him to work. And so there's this blessed side to it as well, rest in the Lord. Be silent before him. There's that a sacred word too in the prophecy of Isaiah in chapter 30, where he speaks this, in quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. You think of that tonight, in quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. Rest in the Lord. Well, I'll leave that first part for your further meditation. Let us look at the second clause. And wait patiently for him. There are two blessed things in this, aren't there? The first thing is the waiting. And the second thing is the great need of patience to wait. Wait and wait patiently for him. We need a lot of patience, don't we, to wait. So often we're impatient, aren't we? I am a person, and I say it to my shame really, that I'm often impatient in things. I like things done now. I don't like waiting for things. And I get very impatient, and I say that to my shame. We need patience to wait for the Lord. And that patience God alone can give. You read Paul's letter to the Romans in chapter 5, he says, tribulation worketh patience. And you know, often the Lord brings his dear children into a path of tribulation to work patience in them. And you go into James's epistle, and where we find James speaking so much of the patience that was given to Job. What does he say? Ye have heard of the patience of Job. And you think how Job patiently waited for the Lord to appear. And what a lesson that is to us, isn't it? You think of what he had to go through and how he patiently waited for the Lord to turn his captivity. The grace that was given, the grace of patience. And I don't know why I name it tonight, but child of God, it may be you're going to need much patience. What do we read? Ye have need of patience. And we need it, don't we? Well, if nothing, I preach this to myself. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Well, what there is really set before us in this waiting patiently is for the Lord's time in things. Our time is always at hand. Jesus said, didn't he, but my time is not yet. It says, your time is always at hand, but my time is not yet. There was an appointed time for Christ to be born, and there were those blessed souls throughout the Old Testament that waited for that day. You think of Simeon. What was he doing in the temple when they brought in the Holy Child Jesus? He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Lord was with him. He patiently waited. What a lesson there is to us there. How he patiently waited for the Lord Jesus to be born into this earth. And the Lord told him that he would not die until he'd seen the Lord's Christ, and he patiently waited. It may be you're patiently waiting for the Lord to answer your prayers. You think of dear Hannah, how she had to patiently wait for the Lord to give her a Samuel. It may be in something in providence you're patiently got to wait for the Lord's time and the Lord's appearing. It may be in your soul. You're patiently waiting for the Lord to pardon all your sin. You're patiently waiting for him to reveal his will to you. Rest in the Lord and wait. He doesn't say get out of your lot or try and go round it. Patiently wait. Silent, sitting still, watching for the Lord to appear. The appointed time. And then are you patiently waiting for the Lord to fulfill his promises? Those promises that are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. Oh, to patiently wait for the promise to be fulfilled. You think of godly Abraham. How he patiently waited for the Lord to give him Isaac and Sarah too. And they patiently waited. And you know, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Or they shall. And then we find in the Word of God the Lord wonderfully blessing those that wait. They shall not be ashamed that wait for me. This is what the Lord said. The poet said, wait then my soul, submissive wait, prostrate before his awful seat, amidst the terrors of his rod, trust in a wise and gracious God. And then another poet said this, "Blessed is the man, O God, whose mind is stayed on thee, who waits for thy salvation, Lord, shall thy salvation see." And then it may be you're patiently waiting for the Lord to speak to you. You long to hear his voice. You long for that assurance from heaven that you're in the narrow way, you're one of the Lord's dear children. And you're patiently waiting for this. Well, may this be of sweet encouragement to you tonight. Rest in the Lord. And this is what he says. Wait patiently for him. Wait patiently for him. It's like I often quote those beautiful lines that our dear friend was so favoured with that we had taken home recently, a time he has set to heal up thy woes, a season most fit his love to disclose, until he is ready to show his goodwill, be patient and steady and wait on him still. And then there may be those of you are patiently waiting for the Lord to send healing in your afflictions or in your trials. You're patiently waiting for him to deliver you and to bring you out into a wealthy place. And you're patiently waiting. Well, may this be of sweet encouragement to you tonight. Rest in the Lord. Put all your trust in him. Lean hard upon him. And wait patiently for him. For him to appear. For him to work. For him to make bare his arm. For him to command deliverance. You think after the Saviour was laid in the tomb, after him being crucified, and they laid him in that tomb, you know there were few that waited patiently for him to arise, weren't there? He told them he would. Are you like them, waiting patiently for that glorious resurrection morn, when the Lord will appear, when he will work? Rest in the Lord then, and wait patiently for him. You may say, well, we're waiting, but oh, we seem to be so impatient. Seek the Lord to give you that patience and that grace to wait. Because in his time, in his way, he will appear. Amen.